Thanks for joining us on the Father's House Podcast, where we are bringing hope and impacting our community by leading people into a growing relationship with Jesus. We're so glad you're here, and wherever you're listening from, we believe your life can be transformed through this week's message. So let's jump right into it.
Awesome. What a great time of worship this morning. Let's give our praise and worship team a hand. Great musicians, singers, awesome. Man, it's great to see you today on this non-snowy day. Even though we get a little snow up in the panhandle, we just prayed it away from here. Maybe we get some this afternoon later, who cares? But we just want you to know that we haven't told you lately, Anita and I love you with all of our heart, and we thank God that we get to go on this journey together. And those of you that are first-time guests today, we're honored that you would be with us. And those of you that are watching online, today we're in for a real treat. We have a great friend with us that's going to minister. 36 years ago, I attended a James Robinson Bible Conference in Dallas, I think, or Fort Worth, one of those two places. And I heard this guy teach, and he taught, and he just upset a lot of philosophies that people had about the Bible that really wasn't true. He was willing to challenge things that everybody else accepted and thought was right, but never really understood what the Word said. And he talked about a church in the end times that would be a glorious church. And I thought, man, if I could ever say it, that's what I believe. And I thought, Lord, I'd love to meet this guy and see if, at that particular time, I was pastoring a very small denominational church in Virginia, and it was Rick Godwin, and he was having breakfast that morning alone, and I walked up and I said, you don't know me, but let me introduce myself, and would you be willing to come to a very small church in Virginia and teach? And he said, call my secretary, Judy, and I did, and that began a 36-year relationship with Rick Godwin speaking into our life here at the Father's House. He's one of those guys, someone said it like this, he comforts the afflicted and he afflicts the comforted. So if you're in a comfort zone today, get ready. 30 years ago when we started, the end of March is 30 years, you know, we're in transition. We'll be transitioning, Anita and I, to the next phase of our life, and Pastor Kevin and the team here will continue on, and we'll be back some teaching. And so it's just kind of great that Rick was with us 30 years ago in the old Shoney's place, a hotel where we started 30 years ago, and today he's with us here on the edge of this transition, and it's only going to say that we're just getting ready. The next 30 years of the Father's House is going to be greater than the last 30 years, but I tell you, his words of encouragement, his words of affirmation, he's never been one that gives you the easy way. He's the one that says, you know, suck it up, get on your feet, get moving again. It's not the end. You know, I remember when I lost everything, Rick said, it's just stuff. And God's able to restore all that stuff. And he said to me, I'll never forget it, everybody else may leave you, denomination may turn their back on you, but I'm telling you, I'm here for you. And for 36 years, he's been that person in our life. And I want you to stand to your feet and welcome Rick Godwin, who's with us today from San Antonio, Texas. All right, Father's House, come on.
Thanks, Jerry. Bless you, man. Hey, good morning. Happy New Year. You grab a seat. It's a real privilege to be back in town. Been a long time, a couple of years. Some of you are looking a little weary, but you're looking good, and I'm glad you're here. I mean, the first time I ever came here, Terry put me in a homeless shelter. It was so bad. Shoney's Big Boy. Most people don't even know what that is. Small beginnings, but the Bible says don't despise the day of small beginnings. You never know what's going to come out of that. And today, looking at this incredible ministry, it's flourished, it's been fruitful, and I say to the glory of God. I mean, it's added value to the community, a multi-million-dollar facility. It's enhanced the value of a small town and a region around it. And I'm glad to be just a small part of it. Terry's been a very competent and consistent leader. And other than Jesus, his best asset's got to be Anita, that's for sure. Yeah, I feel the same way about my wife. I've been married 52 years, sleeping with the same woman for 52 years. Somebody, you know, when you've been married a long time, people say, well, what's the secret of a happy marriage? And I said, low expectation. you'll be okay. Yeah, you come in there with these inflated ideas, and then reality strikes. You know, I'm a real football fan. Unfortunately, being in Texas with the Dallas Cowboys, it's not been a good decade with the boys. I told my wife, when I die, I want you to invite the Cowboys to be my pallbearers because I want them to let me down one more time. Sad. Sad. So I know some of you are looking for Miami and Indiana. Big game tomorrow. Big odds against Miami, but you never know from day to day what can happen. Again, thank you so much for the invitation to be here with you and to bring a challenge. You know, there are certain transitions in your life that are significant. Not all, but there are many. And one of the exciting things about transition is what makes them nerve-wracking and frightening. Transitions are always filled with some uncertainty. Transitions are, by definition, the loss of something for the opportunity to gain something even better. But there's that in-between period where you're losing or giving up what you had, yet you have not yet gained what you hope for. And so a huge part of what makes transitions important is that they're the most visible place to discover the value of your faith. Because when things are stable, when they're constant, you don't need the same level of faith as when things go crazy and are uncertain, right? That's just a fact of life. There are certain experiences in life that will become a filter about who goes forward and who does not. Now, I'm not talking about going to heaven. I mean, there's only one qualification for that. In fact, going to heaven's about the easiest thing you'll ever do because somebody else paid that price for you. But a good marriage, a good home, a future, a good destiny, starting a business, that takes guts. That's called hard. And boy, if any traveling evangelist tells you something is easy, run. There is no such thing is easy, except going to heaven. And that's because you didn't pay a dime. But everything else, you'll pay a price for, or you won't have it at all. It becomes a filter about advancement or staying stuck where you are. Several years ago, I was invited to a restaurant to eat dinner with a couple of friends. When I got there, I couldn't get in. They would not allow me entrance because you have to wear a coat. And I wasn't wearing a coat. And it made me kind of mad, also embarrassed me, because I'm there with other people who are in coats, and you would have thought they would have told me, by the way, Rick, there's a requirement for entrance. You got to wear a coat. I remember not too many years ago, maybe 6 or 7, I took my youngest daughter, Alicia, to the country club. We were going to have buffet lunch after church, and she was wearing a denim dress and a denim jacket. Very attractive. But when we got to the club, there's a big sign in front of the buffet, no denim allowed. And so, although I was a member, although she looked nice, she didn't get in because she didn't meet the requirements for entrance. It wasn't about being a good person, a moral person, a nice person, a Christian person, a citizen. She just wasn't wearing the right thing and could not get entrance. I can remember in the 1970s, women were not allowed to run in the Boston Marathon. That was in my lifetime. That's crazy. In our lifetime, Tiger Woods was actually not allowed to join a golf club or course where he had won the national championship. So it's amazing to me how we create these filtering systems that decide who's allowed in, who's not allowed in, based on, in this case, superficial criteria. Okay, now renew your mind for a second. What if there was a door you could only walk through depending on your courage or your bravery? What if there was a sign over that door that said, only the brave? Not white, black, Hispanic, not love Jesus, not full of the Holy Spirit, only the brave. I wonder how many of us would get invited in. See, that's what these critical transition moments are in life, especially in the Bible. And what you find over and over again in these critical moments, there were men and women who rose up and became noteworthy because there was an invitation in those moments that basically said, only the brave. Now, that's what we read in the book of Joshua, chapter 1, verse 5 through 9. This is God speaking to Joshua. He says, no one will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land that I swore a long time ago to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Don't turn from it from the right hand or the left, so that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Means confess what it says, not what your hairdresser said, not what your old uncle said, what God said. Make sure that's what, it's life or death. That's what comes out of your mouth, okay? Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Now, boy, this is not how they get into heaven. They're already redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. They're already, in an Old Testament sense, saved by the blood of the Lamb, like you and me are today. But that didn't get them into the promise of their destiny. There was going to require something a whole lot more on their part, okay? So he says, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For I, the Lord God, will be with you wherever you go. I love that section because he keeps reiterating over and over again, be strong and very courageous. And because of that, you might assume falsely that Joshua was a courageous man. If you thought of Joshua as being a coward, Joshua would never have become a popular name. How many of you know a Joshua? Raise your hand. Look, see, in here it's about 75%. In the first service, at least 90%. See, Joshuas are popular. Guys like Joshua. Girls like Joshua. Joshua likes Joshua. There's something about the name Joshua that gives you this sense he's a courageous person. So there's been an assumption throughout history, Joshuas must be courageous. That's why very few people name their kid Judas. It's a strong name, not that different from Judah, but it's not popular. Judas is not. Another name not very popular is Jezebel. Not a lot of makeup out there called Jezebel, and not a lot of girls out there named Jezebel. I mean, it's kind of got a ring to it, like Jessica, Jezebel. I mean, the difference in these names is the story they tell. And that'll be the difference in your name. What story do you tell? The story that Joshua tells is a story of courage and bravery. But that's not why God is having this conversation with him. He doesn't have this conversation with Josh because Joshua is so inherently brave. He has this conversation because Joshua is feeling at the moment totally overwhelmed. He's facing giants, walled cities, the Nephilim. He's taken over for a guy who's seen it all and done it all, and it all comes to him, bam, in a day. He is beyond stunned and knocked out, okay? So this is hit this poor guy. So God's got to have a little conversation. So God begins to tell him over and over again, Joshua, these are the attributes you're going to have, the entrance requirement into the next phase of your life and journey if you're going to inherit the destiny that I have planned for you and these people. You ain't going forward if you don't have this requirement. Remember the requirement over the door? Only the brave. See, how would you feel to read a story and it starts negative? You don't want to start a book or a story with something called a funeral. That's not how you begin. That's how the book of Joshua begins. So when you read Joshua chapter 1, verse 1, it says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord then turned and said to Joshua, son of Nun, hey, in case you didn't notice, Moses, my servant, is dead. Elvis has left the building. He ain't coming back. He's not working at a Shop and Go in Jacksonville. He's dead. Okay? Now, that's a really depressing way to start a call of God. But God begins by saying, Joshua, I want you to know he's dead. the leader of this great people, he's dead. The man who stood in front of Pharaoh, fearlessly calling him out to set my people free. Yeah, that guy, he's dead. You know Moses, the one who went up in the mountain and spoke to me face to face? Yeah, he's dead. Those who had the commandment, the guy I trusted with the Ten Commandments, yeah, he's gone. He's dead. The man who struck the rock and water came out, that guy is dead. The man who stood and held his staff up and the waters divided so you could walk into freedom, yeah, Josh, that man is dead. The man who closed the waters when Egypt was in the middle of the Red Sea, swallowed them all up, that man is dead. Any questions, Joshua? See? Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give them. So he didn't give Joshua a long time to mourn. He didn't say, I know it's going to be traumatic for you. Joshua goes, God, I don't know how I'm going to get through this. I'm traumatized. God says, get up, lead your people. Now, they were not his people. Technically, he was Moses' assistant. He was Moses' aide. So when Moses was tired, he carried the staff. And when a miracle was needed, he gave the staff back to Moses. Joshua was there every step of the way behind Moses, not being seen. He says, now then, you and all this people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give the Israelites. And he says, I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the Mediterranean Sea in the west, and no one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. Now, how can you know that you are among the brave? Because there is a life that God calls all of us into where the invitation is only the brave. And you get to choose it as they chose it because you accept the call. This was Joshua's defining moment. And God's literally saying to Joshua, you saw how I called Moses out. And you experienced how he trusted me. And you know the outcome of his choices. And now I need you to believe the same way I called Moses out. I'm calling you out. The same way I kept my promises to Moses, I'll keep my promises to you. And sometimes, I don't know if we understand the difference between Moses and us. It's that Moses accepted the call. So this became Joshua's defining moment. What's God calling you to? What's God calling you from? What? There is something. God doesn't have no call for certain people. Everybody has some call of God on their life into some destiny he has for your life. And so God was saying, I'm inviting you, Josh, into the same journey I invited Moses into, but even more. Moses delivered my people out of Egypt, but he never took them into the promised land. So Josh, as much as you admired Moses, as much as you saw this guy bigger than life, I'm going to do something in you and through you that Moses could not accomplish. But it's only the brave who will accept the call. Now, you may think it's because you have less talent or less opportunity or you don't know the right people or you just don't have the right intelligence or whatever your excuse may be. But the defining characteristic between you and the person God uses in some extraordinary way can be described simply by one definition, only the brave. See, you're already chosen by God. If you've accepted Jesus, you're in. You're in the eternal life, but you're not into the destiny he's called you to. He's got something for all of us, and it'll scare the living daylights out of you. It'll be beyond your resources. It'll be beyond your current experience. It'll always be a stretch to what you've known or know, and it'll be terrifying you, and you got to trust God. Yeah, coming to church, that's easy. Sitting in a pew, that's easy. Deciding whether you like the guy preaching or not, that's easy. Do you like his hairstyle or what he wears, or that's interesting, or he's tall, skinny, fat, or big, whatever. That's amazing to me. And meanwhile, you sit there in total mediocrity the rest of your life thinking, well, this must be the way God had it. Like Doris Day said, que sera, whatever will be. No, heck no. You choose your future. Your mom and dad didn't choose it. Once you left home, you made every choice. You are the product of the choices you've made. You are who you are. I am who I am by the choices I made or refused to make. And those choices are still in front of you if you're still breathing. That which I've begun in you, I will. God says, I'll be with you. I'll do it. I'll perform it to the day of Jesus Christ. His gifts, his callings are without repentance. God hadn't changed his mind about you. He's just waiting for you to wake up, smell the coffee, and take some courage to answer that call. Okay? Now, you may have accepted the calling of your life, but this verse, I will give you every place your foot steps. God is calling men and women to a life of bravery, to step into a journey that's impossible and guaranteed for failure. If God doesn't show up, I'm in big trouble. And I wonder how many of us live such unimpressive lives, not because of outside factors or who mommy and daddy were or who didn't get you a dog or you had a single mom raise you, but simply because we did not say, God, I will accept your call on my life, come hell or high water. See, the call isn't to be more talented. The call of God isn't to be more intelligent or more gifted or more spiritual. The call is to live a life of bravery. And I can tell you that the brave will accept the challenge. They will accept the call. I think, sadly, across this nation, Christianity has become a domesticated, safe religion. If the air conditioner isn't right, I'm going to go to another church. If somebody got in my chair, don't they know that's where we sit every Sunday? I'm offended. I'm going to leave. See, or Terry walked by me today, didn't speak to me. No, he might have had his hands on a message, a phone call you just had, somebody died, or what he's going to preach, and you just stepped into the line of fire. You had no agenda, nothing on the table. And I tell people, I'm in my zone. Don't mess with me when I'm in my zone. After I step off, you can come into the zone. But right now, I'm focused. I want to help people, bless people, challenge people, and irritate some people. Right? That's my job. That's my calling. Okay. That's just for some of you easily offended people. All right? And the sad part is we become domesticated and we become soft people. And we wonder why God doesn't do extraordinary things in us and through us. I sat beside a guy who was in game warden, wildlife. He said, Rick, did you know we were talking about something? He said, do you know you can take a wild duck and make it tame? He says, but you can never take a tame duck and make it wild. And I'm afraid religion has domesticated and tamed us so that now we've become unwild, unadventuresome, no risk-taking at all. My only risk is if it's raining, should I go to church today? You know, is it cold today? I'm in Florida. It's cold. It's 25 degrees at home today with a hard freeze in Texas. Bless you, you poor suffering people. Yeah. I'm going to tell you, you do not want to be soft in this world. So, Joshua, I'm going to give you every place you set your foot, as I promised Moses. I kind of have this idea in my head that God's not going to call some of these people to do some extraordinary things and call me to a life of average, just get by, mediocrity. I don't know how you feel about it, but I feel like I'm in that line, but I've got to answer that call. The brave will accept their call. Secondly, the brave will own their courage. Back to verse 5, he says, nobody will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. We live in a victim society in this culture today. It's everybody else's fault. I don't have the life I want. It's everybody else's responsibility to solve my problems, to make me feel good. Folks, it's no one else's responsibility to fulfill your dream but you. You and you alone will choose. You make choices every day, and so do I. So, nobody is supposed to create my future. I will create it, good or bad, by the choices I make or the ones that were offered I refuse to make. But the sign said, only the brave. See, you have to believe no one can stand against me. It means they will, but they won't prevail, right? He says, as I was with Moses, so will I be with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. Then he says, be strong and courageous, because you're going to lead these people. Be strong and very courageous. Verse 9, have I not commanded you? Now, don't miss this point. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Courage is not a promise from God to you. Courage is a command from God to you. Almighty, omnipotent, omnipresent God said, Ed, I command you, be strong. That's a whole different. That's a whole different deal. I wonder if God Almighty stood in front of you, and I don't know you, no, I don't know you, stood before you and said, haven't I commanded you? Who'd be starting a business? Who would expand something? Who would write a song? Who would let go, sell the house, move out of town for a career or a destiny that you're terrified it might not succeed, but it's been in your heart for years with the talent God's given you, but you're afraid? I wonder what God would say to you. I have commanded you, be strong. You think it'd change lives? It would change the future of people's lives. There are people whose lives in this small town will be changed because somebody had the guts to come and start with no support, no money, no promise that it'll succeed. And we're here because somebody went through the door, only the brave. The same in San Antonio. Nobody paid my bills. Nobody said, don't worry, Rick, we'll cover all your expenses. We had to sell our beautiful home, low interest, by the way, on the Intercoastal Waterway, sell all of our possessions, take the equity of our home, drive in with a U-Haul, it, two little girls, and a dream, sit on the porch, rent a house that my wife had never seen, which is not a good thing to do, and take a chance. Didn't know if it worked, didn't know if it didn't work, but we took a chance. Now, Everybody now wants guaranteed days off for vacation, guaranteed benefits, guaranteed this much pay. And I thought, this church was started by a risk taker. And so was Father's House. Get a life. Bump it up. Get off your rear end and take a chance and go for something strong and celebrate those who do and change the world. This is Martin Luther King weekend. My God, here's a man who took a chance. In a racist society, I'm a South Carolina boy, and it cost him his life, but it changed the world. Only the brave can make a difference in the world. Coming to church, sucking your thumb, liking, not liking something said, isn't going to change anything. It's what we do out of here that makes the difference. Sitting on a pew is easy. Well, excuse me, a chair. Most guys all got rid of those old hardwood pews. I like that old soft, comfortable chair, right? God can change the world through a soft chair. Yeah, right, right. So courage is a command from God to you. There are some things God promises you and gives you. But there are some things God has placed in you, and you alone have to give them to Him. Have not I commanded you, Joshua? Be strong. Be courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. That must mean all hell is going to come down on you, son. Buckle up, buttercup. This is going to be a tough ride. Do you get that? I mean, I don't know how we've made Christianity so soft. God does not create great futures for soft people. So don't be afraid. Step into your courage. Own your courage. Owning it means you possess it. You know what courage feels like? Action in the midst of fear. That's what courage feels like. Have you ever wondered, well, Rick, I think maybe the courageous feel differently than I do because I'm afraid. Well, if you have no fear, you can have no courage. Courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is the absence of our pitiful selves. It's a truth. You need to trust God, but you also need to know yourself. Because when you trust in God, that's your faith. But when you trust in God for who He's made you to be or become, that's your courage. Because God did not say to Joshua, hey, babe, don't worry. I'm going to make it easy. He didn't say, I'm paving the way. I'm clearing the land. I'm taking care of all your opposition. I'm moving all your enemies aside. He said, Joshua, I am preparing you for the fight. Does your Bible say fight the good fight of faith? There might be a little turmoil in it. Resist the devil so he will flee from you. It's warfare. You're born into a battlefield earth, not nursery. This is a war we all got born again into. And only the brave survive. Again, you can go to heaven. He paid the price for that. But live on earth and have a life or a destiny that's beyond our wildest imagination. That only comes for people who have the courage to step into it and to own it. That's why the brave own their courage. I think a lot of people hope somehow that if I give my life to Jesus and I follow Jesus, life will get easy. But you've been praying lately, God, I trusted you. What's up? Why is it so hard? See, I think people who don't trust God have an easier life than people who do. I think it's easier for a leaf to float down a river where it's not fighting the rapids. It may feel like you've got momentum, but you're just falling away. You're just complying. I think it takes the work and fight of a salmon to swim upstream. If you choose to live a courageous life, your life will be harder. If you choose to accept your calling and take on the life God created for you, your life is going to be filled with challenges. Didn't Jesus say, in this world, you'll have some trouble? Be of good cheer. It's not going to go away, but I've overcome it. Stay with me. Stand. Having done all to stand, keep standing. I don't know what happened. In the church I used to belong to as a kid, we used to sing, I'll fly away. Build me a cabin in glory. I thought, I wish he would so you guys would get out of here as quick as possible. Because that is, a cabin in heaven and flying away. We preached the rapture so hard, so imminent, all the way back, I can remember, in the early 50s, that we didn't know whether to fight or fly. We had a suitcase in one hand, a sword in the other, and we were as confused as a termite in a yo-yo. We didn't know what to do. We're supposed to occupy till he comes. Not worry about when he comes. I couldn't care less. You know, what if he doesn't come? Then you get up and do what you're supposed to do. Take the dog out. Take the trash out. Kiss your wife goodbye. Go to work. Do a good job. You know, raise the kids. How did we get so terrified Jesus is coming? That's a wonderful thing. Maybe he'll come before I have to go to Orlando Airport and fight the crowd out there. That'd be a wonderful. You think I'll be upset? I'd be upset at all. So he says over and over, be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. I find it rare God would have to repeat himself if we already had something that we need. God speaks into our souls over and over at our point of weakness, our point of fear, our point of pain. Pay attention to what God repeats to you. If he has to keep saying to you, I love you, I love you, I love you, you don't love him. You're not convinced he doesn't love you. If he has to keep saying, I got you, I got you back, I got you back, don't be afraid, you don't believe in his goodness. See, but I think many times God will actually speak to us and say, I need you to step up and live the life I have already created and designed you to live. I need you to stop praying for things I've called you to take on. I need you to get your bottom out of bed, set your sights on the life I've whispered in your soul, and go for it. I need you to find the courage to do the hard work of creating a life or a world that wouldn't exist without you. The brave accept their call. The brave own their courage. And third, before I say it, I sit around and think sometimes. I was at a conference at Steve Kelly's Wave Church in Virginia Beach several years ago, and for three or four of us who were the guest speakers, they wanted to do an interview so they could show it later, and they asked each of us, if you could have dinner with any three people on earth, past or present, who would you like to have dinner with? Okay, now this is Rick Godwin. I know they're thinking, I'm going to pick some religious leader. I didn't. I said, Elon Musk, Jeff Bezos, and Steve Jobs. I said, these people risked everything they had, $5,000 investment in a garage, an Amazon Prime Time. You guys use it every day, and so do I. Brave, you think? These people become billionaires. I said, we sit in church waiting for the ferry to come put dust on us and suddenly make us successful. We won't give, we won't tithe, we won't make a sacrifice. We believe Jesus will take us to heaven, but we don't believe he can give us a great life or that he'll do what he promised he'll do. It takes guts, it takes courage, it takes some bravery to step out and do what he asked you to do, because it won't look safe. It never does, ever. It won't make sense either. So the brave accept their call, will you? Second, the brave will own their courage. It's in you. You got to let it out. And third, the brave take possession of what is promised. In Joshua 1:10, so Joshua ordered the officers of the people, go through to camp, tell the people, get your provisions ready. 3 days from now, you're going to cross the Jordan, go in and take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you to own. Maybe we should pray and ask God to make us something rather than give us something. Maybe the things you get you don't value as highly as the things you work and sacrifice for. Now, I'm not working to get to heaven. That was paid in full by Jesus. That's a free ride, the grace. For by grace are you saved through faith, not of works, lest anybody brag. Okay, but that does not include my marriage, my health, my finances, my children, my relationships, or my career. There, I got to pay the price. He'll co-labor with me, but he will not do it for me. He is not going to love my wife as I should. Anybody listen to this? I hear such nonsense. He's not going to help me. He's not going to help me be financially rich or prosperous because I refuse to obey him or I spend more than I make. Not going to happen. God's not stupid. God expects me to co-labor and obey him. Then he'll back me up, but not till I step out of the boat and get on the water. When's the last time you got out of the boat? When's the last time you did something for the first time? You never done it before. Might be a good chance to see what God has to do or will do in your life. Everybody's waiting on God. God said, waiting on me. I've been waiting on you to do something. Do anything. I'd love to see you do something different. You see, most lives that are lived out of the average church wouldn't even require prayer at all. It's so systematic, cut and dried. About time they only want prayers when there's a crisis. And I need God. See, but my parents were married and divorced 5 times. And I was given to different relatives to raise. I could suck my thumb and say, well, I should be dysfunctional. I should be a serial killer. I said, I ain't going to live this way. It motivated me to say, I've been married 52 years to the same woman. 52 years. Man, that's a long time. I'm 82 years old. I'm saying, you got to make some sacrifices to stay married. Somebody will ask me, well, what's the secret of a long marriage? I said, it's easy. Low expectation. You're slow, but you'll get it in a minute. Yeah. I'm happy, happy here. Yeah, well, let me tell you, it ain't all you expect. And having kids ain't all you expect. I didn't know about this. Right. Just lower them. You'll be fine. You'll be fine. You want good health? Yeah, God, give me health. Yeah, I've got back pain. Yeah, because you're 150 pounds overweight. Knock it off. Now, I don't mean to be ugly, but Benny Hinn ain't going to solve that problem. It's going to be there. When you waddle out at 150 pounds overweight, you're going to still have that back pain or knee pain. You are going to have to put a knife to your throat or buy some Ozempic and get rid of it. Am I telling you the truth? I mean, I'm a spirit-filled, believing in the gifts of the Spirit, but there's just a whole lot of nonsense. You know, if you came forward, your wife just told you today, I want a divorce, I hate your guts, you come to the altar, you cry, I'm sorry, I want my marriage saved, and we lay hands on you, you get slain in the Spirit. When you go back to your seat, she still hates your guts. I don't care how much anointing's on you, she hates your guts. You are going to have to change your behavior and what you do, or nothing's going to change. And you can say, oh, pray for me. I've got a financial problem. Well, do you tithe? No. Well, do you spend more than you make? Well, yeah. Well, hello. Who needs the devil? You're your own worst enemy. No. Or some traveling evangelist will say, well, if you'll bring $1,000 tonight in 30 days, God's going to wipe out all your debt. He's a liar. There's no promise in the Word of God for that. But God can deliver you out of massive debt if you'll just learn to structure to spend less than you make. Honor the Lord with your first fruit, your tithe. God will begin to get you out of debt or a bad marriage or bad health. It's progressive. I wish everything were a quick fix, but that's not what I read in Scripture. But there is a sure cure and a fix, but you got to put some work and effort into it, all right? So some of the things that are given to us, we don't value like what we had to sacrifice and work for. So many things that God gave his people were things that they had to work hard, struggle for, and fight for. He told them, I've given you the land. Here's the title deed to the land, but you've got to go in and possess it. You're going to have to fight for it, kill some giants, have some battles, and drive the evil ones out. You are going to have to do that. Be strong in the Lord. Be courageous, because you're going to need it when you see the size of those suckers in that land. They're tall as cedar trees. Is that fact?
Yeah, okay. So, the brave accept their calling, the brave own their courage, and last, the brave take possession of what is promised. God says, I want you to go, until Joshua says to the people, in 3 days we're moving. When you face challenge, when you face hardship, when you face setback, when you face disappointment, when you face failure, you create a filter. When you see yourself as a victim, you have now paralyzed yourself and you lose or forfeit your future. If you keep asking God to give you things without doing the work to step into them, God cannot give it to you. If He gave the future to you without you becoming a new you, then you'd blow that too. Wouldn't do you any good. He's got to transform us before anything gets transformed around me. I've got to be prepared to receive what He has for me. I've got to put in the work. Now I can say, God, I'm willing to take possession of the land. I'm willing to answer your call. I'm willing to go through that door. So Joshua gets up the next day. He doesn't explain to Israel he's replacing Moses. He just stepped into his calling. He didn't make excuses. He didn't have to make explanations. He just stepped into what God called him to do. I think on the world of social media, if you step into your calling, you're going to get a few haters. If you step up and actually accept God called you to do something unique for you, that you're chosen by God to do something beautiful with your life, if you don't embrace that, then the narcissist in our world will be the only ones that have the confidence to do great things. They'll run for city council. They'll run for mayor. They'll run for president. They'll run, and we wonder how we get all some of these idiots up there. They have the guts and the boldness to go for it. While the good guys just sat around sucking their thumb, hoping things would be good. No, you got to answer your call. And God calls all of us to different things because He wants to bring His kingdom. Pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He's not wanting you to leave. He's wanting you to take over and occupy till He comes. Right? Okay. If you step up and accept that call in such a unique way, there are going to be people who don't like you. If you got to have everybody like you, sell ice cream. That's all I know. Everybody's not going. When you make the transition with Terry and Anita, with Kevin and Melissa, everybody won't like you. Okay. If it's just there are a lot of things we do I don't particularly like, but I do it for the benefit of all the people. Can you suck it up and say, well, I don't like the way he does the offering. I don't like the way he does the invitation. If it's just an irritation, can you live with that? But if it becomes so toxic that you just sow discord and division, you need to get up and leave, right? But you don't ever sow division in God's house among God's people. God says He hates that. You bring a curse on yourself. It's simple. It's not complicated, folks. God didn't call you to be a murmurer. In fact, He killed a bunch of people in the Bible who were murmurers. I can't say either. If you can change it, change it. If you can't change it and it's up to God, shut up, do something, or leave. But don't sit around and murmur and be a toxic division on the body of Christ. So I don't want the narcissist to take my job or to take over. So I want to challenge people. Step up, take the risk, and go for it just like we did. Now, why? Because the sign on the door of a destiny, of opportunity, of transformation just has this on it. Thou must know Greek. Thou must know Hebrew. Thou must never have been drunk. Thou must never have committed adultery. Thou must never have failed. Thou must know scripture from memory. Thou must operate in these gifts. That wasn't the sign on my door. It was only the brave. That's why a whole lot of people change in the world. You may not like everything about them, but God chose them because of their courage and their bravery. So, I'm as shocked as you are. I got chose to do anything. But I remind people who are shocked. My sign just said only the brave. Did you read that before you came in? And people will bring up your past and say, you're not qualified for that calling. You don't understand. There was only one qualification for my destiny, only the brave. Yeah. So there were people smarter, more intellectual, more spiritual, more prophetic, but they wouldn't go through the door. I went through the door. I mean, God's happy to have anybody who'll answer the call. Kind of like football. He just wants to give the ball to somebody who'll run with it. He didn't care what color the uniform is or whether their socks match. Just advance the ball in my kingdom, right? Okay. Somebody call 911. I see dead people, okay? People will say, well, who do you think you are? You haven't trained. You haven't prepared. You're not smart enough. You're not talented enough. You didn't read the sign over the door, my friend. It said only the brave. I may be outdone in every area of life, but I want to challenge all of us to live with more courage than our past generation did. I want to challenge us to have guts or boldness. Soft lives leave you empty. God will never create a future for soft people. Because when you're soft and you live in fear, you live in self-doubt, and you live in victimization, you now have trapped yourself in the past. You're not going to advance. You're not going to move forward. You're in between the Exodus, you're bought by the blood of the Lamb, and the promised land, which is your destiny. You're lost in transition because you thought when God set you free, it meant free and easy, but it meant free and hard. And by the way, when Moses took his people to the Red Sea, he held up a staff and the water parted and they walked over on dry ground. Later, now that Joshua is the leader, he stands at the Jordan River and God says, whoa, 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 wait a minute, not so fast. That was last year. We're going to do something different this year. I want you guys to walk out on the water. I can hear him say, what? What did he say? Could you imagine being the people who followed Moses? And now they're saying, okay, we're ready, Joshua. Do your thing, baby. And now they're saying, okay, we're ready. And Joshua goes, well, guys, sorry. It's not going to work like that now. You got to walk out into the water. And it's only when the soles of your feet touch the water that the water will part. See, yesterday's faith is never good enough for today's challenge. And that's the one thing I know without any doubt in my personal life. Everything extraordinary, everything unimaginable, every good thing that's ever happened in my life did not happen because I was talented enough, good enough, or smart enough, or skilled enough. The only thing that ever set me apart from most of the guys around me was I chose to live a life of bravery. And bravery sometimes looks like talent. I'm just stupid courageous. But I felt fear, but I use fear as fuel to step into my future. And by the way, when you accept the destiny God has for you, the calling God has for you, you're going to have a lot of haters. People who know you are going to really hate you, and people who don't know you will hate you. I mean, you just can't win. It covers everybody. And the people who don't know you will say you're not talented enough. You're just a wannabe. Who do you think you are? But don't protect yourself. You don't have to defend yourself. You can go, you know, you think I don't deserve this? You don't have a clue. I really don't deserve this. You think I'm not talented enough? You don't know how little talent I actually have. It's amazing how much I'm doing with so little talent. See, I mean, you can say to these people, hey, you are right. I wouldn't choose me, but I didn't do the choosing. I got chosen. I got a call. I said, yeah. See, your future has a criteria. You can't pass through if you're talented enough or gifted enough or smart enough or morally good enough. It's only the brave. There's a life God's calling you into right now. And when people start asking you, who do you think you are? There are no qualifications for that path except the brave. He didn't say, I'm calling the talented only. No, it's only the brave. I'm not just calling the good. He said, I'm calling the brave. Because you can be good, you can be moral, you can love Jesus and be a coward and never go through the door, right? He didn't say, this is 11, so I don't care if I go over 3 or 4 minutes, but he just said, I had a girl in our church. The guy she was married to was stealing money out of their bank account. We put him in therapy 3 times. He had some kind of a dysfunction. If you don't take your medication, bipolar. He would show up with no shirt, shorts on, and a machete at McDonald's and get arrested and scare everybody. He had 2 little beautiful little girls who are now all beautiful teenagers. And I said to her, I won't use her name. I said, you need to cut this guy loose. You're wasting your eggs on a future that's going to go down bad on you. Bad doesn't get better longer. And I said, this is terrible. You've been patient. You've been 5 years. We've been patient as a church. We've spent our money, our love, our time to help this man step into the good future. He will not do it. Cut him loose. Now, you're not supposed to say that in church. Watch it again. Cut him loose. You know, while you still got those eggs and a future, you share them with somebody who loves you, who's going to be a good father to your children. Don't marry somebody warm and breathing. Marry somebody going somewhere that has a future and loves you. And that was my... And she said to me, we took them to dinner. Every year we take the girls out, give them Christmas presents, gift cards, as we've just sort of been parents to them. And she said to me, she says, Rick, you told me 5 years ago I should have cut this guy loose. I wasted 5 years of my life. And I said, it's okay, better late than never, but you should have. And sometimes Christianity gets in the way of good decisions. We love people, but they don't produce. I can't keep you hired on staff if you don't produce anything. Now I'm just a socialist, right? No, I hired you to do this. I love you. You're a wonderful person. We're pals, but this isn't about pals. It's about advancing the kingdom, and you can't run the ball. I'm going to have to let you go and find somebody who can fill this spot and take the church into a higher level in this ministry or that ministry. It's not about I don't love you, right? I mean, okay. Well, I had to talk to one of my best friends. Now I'm speaking to you not as your blood brother and close friend. I'm telling you as your pastor, what you're doing sucks and it's wrong. And you need to apologize and you need to stop it. I'm talking to you now with a different hat on. I am your pastor and I'm speaking to you from that. Over here, I'm your pal and buddy for years. But I'm telling you straight what they're not going to tell you. You've got to be able to handle that and not be offended and take your marbles and go home. A good rebuke is necessary for all of us on occasion. So God didn't say I had to be educated, skilled enough, experienced enough. I can make a lot of mistakes. The criteria for that path of destiny is only the brave. So I close. Here's the question for you this morning. Is that you? If there's one qualification for the future God has for you, already has it, it's only the brave who enter. Will you step into that future? The future that God invites you and me and all of us into only has one sign over the door. Only the brave. I'm going to walk through that door. Coming with me? I hope you'll say yes. I'm saying yeah. Bow your head with me. You've been gracious. Thanks for letting me run over a few minutes. I wonder if there's a future inviting you, waiting for you, but the sign over that door is only the brave. And perhaps you've chosen up to now not to walk through that door. Could you visualize in your own mind for just a moment walking through that door that says only the brave? Can you see yourself walking through that door where it says only the brave and you choose that path? If you can see yourself doing that, then say, yes, Jesus, I accept this invitation where only the brave can go. You may be here this morning, and maybe you've never entrusted your life to Jesus. You've never given your life to the God who loves you, to the one who died for you and rose from the dead. Jesus chose bravery to sacrifice his life so you and I could live. And if you've never given your life to Jesus, or you're not sure, can I invite you courageously right now to step across that line of faith and say, Jesus, today I'm giving you my life. Just tell him right in your own heart and mind, Jesus, I give you my life. See, he comes to dwell within you. That faith and courage that you've been longing for is being awakened inside of you. And if you're ready right now, just say, Jesus, I give you my life. Just tell him. If that's your prayer, I want to pray for you. And if you've never invited Jesus into your life or you're not sure, but this morning you would say boldly, Jesus, I give you my life. If that's your prayer, I want you just, nobody going to bother you. I want you just to hold your hand up high. I want to pray for you. Go ahead. Don't be frightened at all right now. Just do it with courage, with bravery right now. Jesus, this morning, I give you my life. Beautiful. Anybody else? And now you may be here and you would say, Rick, I've been paralyzed by fear. I've had a million excuses, but this morning, I want to live a life of bravery. I want to walk through that door that says only the brave. I want you with me. Just raise your hand, and I'm going to pray for you. Go ahead. I want God to give you unexplainable courage emerging out of your life. If you can say, Rick, I'm so sick and tired of being paralyzed by fear. I'm so sick and tired of accepting a lesser version of who God made me to be. I want you to step into this moment with courage and faith. I want to live a life, Rick, that requires a life and a level of bravery that I never have had. And if that's you, I want to pray for you right now. Just lift that hand up. Anybody else? Thank you. See, this is not for anybody else, just you. God's inviting you to a small act of courage. So you're choosing courage this morning. You're choosing bravery. You're choosing a future. You trust God with your life. Father, thank you for the men and women in this room watching online in this moment who have made a choice for courage to give their lives to you. God, sometimes we don't understand ourselves and we choose much less. We find ourselves frustrated with our lives, sometimes even hating our lives, yet refusing to choose the higher path. So, Father, I pray right now you would awaken courage in each person so they wouldn't recognize themselves. The courage to say yes, the courage to live by truth, the courage to take a risk, the courage to live in the light, the courage to walk away from darkness, the courage to love, the courage to forgive. I pray, God, you would make this room a room of the brave. And Father, for those who just invited Jesus into their life, wrap them up in your love. Let them know you've heard their prayer, that they belong to you, and they are now beginning a new journey with you. Jesus, thank you. You modeled bravery for all of us by giving your perfect life for us. You love us enough to call us to a life of bravery as well. And for that, we are eternally grateful. And we pray this giving thanks in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen and amen. God bless you, Father's House, and have a happy, prosperous new year.
Thanks for joining us. If you said that prayer and surrendered your life to Jesus, it's the best decision you will ever make, and we would like to celebrate with you. We have some tools to help you on your journey. Simply text DECIDED to 352-329-2301. That's 352-329-2301. Join us next time as we continue to love God, love people, and make disciples.